Hare Krishna. So here's a brief report of yesterday's GBC meetings, for which I was there most of the time. There was just a little part in the afternoon when I just wasn't well enough to be there, although I more or less know what transpired over there, having been already gone through quite a bit of discussion with Ambarish Prabhu and Babananda Prabhu about the temple of Vedic planetarium. Anyway, it started with chairman's address and Guru Puja and Kirtan like we usually do, and then with our first agenda point as always, BBT or book distribution. And well, we listed the top 10 temples. The number 10 position was the only non-Indian temple, and that was Los Angeles. And thereafter, they were all Indian temples. And I can't remember all the details per se, but all I can say, for instance, what I do remember is that the two main temples in Delhi, Greater Kailash Temple and Punjabi Bagh Temple, between them, they distributed 1.3 million Mahabik books last year. So no doubt, Srila Prabhupada would be very, very pleased by that. And the top distributor was a lady, a Mataji, I think a Bhaktin, in Mumbai, who distributed 180,000 Mahabik books. Of course, some of this, there's two particular advantages to here. Well, three. One is that whereas everywhere else in the world is going bankrupt, India is really flying economically. Another one is that the markup for Indian books is not the same as the markup for Western books. And that's sort of a unfair advantage that they have, but anyway, let's put that aside. It's still a wonderful thing. Hovana Turbanya Damodarna. Anyway, it's a fantastic, phenomenal achievement by what used to be, India used to be just a didn't compete. Now it certainly competes. And I think the top temple, if I remember right, was Mayapur. Top single temple was Mayapur in terms of book distribution. And all of these are big books, Maha big books, Bhagavad Gitas and so on. So that was a really wonderful thing. And then after that, we talked about bad debts. There are, unfortunately, from historical circumstances and situations, bad debts to the BBT, which some of which are in hundreds of thousands of euros, and how we're working with our BBT GBC committee how to actually relinquish these debts. There's one quote from Srila Prabhupada who said that any temple who has incurs bad debts, the temple president should be replaced. Srila Prabhupada was very, very adamant that BBT not finance the running of temples. Temples were entitled to 50% of their sales, but the rest was actually meant to pay for the cost of the books. Everyone has to pay for the cost of their books. So, then the next was a child protection report, and that's something that also we have first thing every year. And despite the fact that we have very few ashram schools, there are child abuse cases still going on internationally, unfortunately. And but they're being dealt with. The most worrying thing was is that the payments towards our CPO, Child Protection Office, was very low. It was actually a third of what it was meant to be. In other words, different temples didn't pay what they were supposed to. And that's very bad, because then it's not possible to maintain the infrastructure or manpower of the Child Protection Office. And we have a very good child protection officer in the form of Champakalata Devidasi, and actually I ended up spending there, staying there till 7:30 at night, talking about a case. It wasn't a case in Hungary, but it was somewhere else, and two cases, ongoing cases that I just have some peripheral involvement in trying to work on. Then the next one was the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. Yes, I mentioned that I wasn't there for that part of the meeting. But Temple of Vedic Planetarium is really going up. That's why I sent quite a few pictures so you can see that. In fact, yesterday we went out there and took a photo of the GPC on the planetarium itself. And it's really, really impressive in terms of scale and size. And there were two major points. One was the color of the dome was proposed to be changed from golden, which I was very happy about, because a golden dome is a no-color dome. From far away, all you just see is light. You wouldn't see any color. And to a light blue, and I think that'll be a very, very nice combination, and that was something presented to the GBC for their okay. And the other one was that we'd finalized what the Vedic Planetarium inside was, finally, how was it going to look, what Shukadeva Goswami spoke about, and how to correlate what Bhagavatam says with what modern astronomers and astrologers see and say about the actual structure of the universe, as well as describing how the planetary systems, the lower, middle, upper planetary system, Vaikuntha and Goloka, Vrindavan, how all that all comes together. And that's important. That was something that Ravindra Swarupa Prabhu had been working on for the last 2 years, along with a team of devotees. So that's also now finalized. And after the Temple of Planetarium was... Oops, oh, there was something I forgot in sequence. That was pastoral abuse. This is a new phenomenon, or at least a new phenomenon that's becoming a legal challenge to religious organizations. And as opposed to child abuse, and child abuse maybe between children, but to speak of between adults and children, but when pastors, priests, rabbis, gurus, etc., take advantage of their senior position, pastoral position, the spiritual leaders, to naturally vulnerable, submissive people under their care, and have illicit relationships with them, and so on. So this is now becoming a... there are already legal cases where churches and religious organizations are being sued. We heard of one such case is already taking place in ISKCON. In other words, the abuse of power to take advantage of people who are naturally susceptible because of the position of religious leaders, because of the nature of religious teachings to be submissive to authorities, and then that is being abused or misused. So this is also something to look out for, and something that we'll also be keeping in mind. And the last one was Balabhadra Prabhu, cow minister protection, was talking about what he phrased, quote-unquote, blood milk, or milk that's consumed by devotees, offered to deities, that comes from farms other than our own farms, in other words, where animals are not ultimately slaughtered. And he was making the case, something that I've spoken about over again, that we can't continue just using the case of, well, they're getting some agyata sukriti or benefit, but Srila Prabhupada did it in his time 30-odd years ago. Prabhupada also gave us instructions. He gave us instructions to have farms, that every temple should be connected to a farm, that the farm should provide vegetables and milk products for their local temples and restaurants. And then we're above suspicion. Otherwise, what is tending to happen is the devotees are becoming vegans. And that's also not a philosophy, but it's certainly better than having to take responsibility for the slaughter of animals, which you can't avoid if you're drinking milk that's coming from a shop or that's coming from a farm. Then ultimately you have to take responsibility for the fact that those animals are slaughtered. And there's karma that comes along with that. And aside from karma, it's also something that's, you can't, at least I can't, with a clear heart, really defend in people's eyes when we say that this is such an important thing, and yet at the same time we just continue doing it and actually neglect our own farming communities and coordinating, resolving this particular problem, which Srila Prabhupada says that neither society can be properly functional, nor can actually Brahminical society work unless cow protection, which means cows, bulls, oxen, is being properly administered. It was yesterday's meeting. I don't know if I'm going to be giving you an update every single day, but that was it for yesterday. Hare Krishna.